Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everything in between, welcome back to the Kevin Clifton Show. So we've been away for a little bit, but we're back. The podcast is starting up again, or well, just returning really. Thank you to everyone who's been sending messages saying, when are we getting some more episodes of the podcast? I've been missing the podcast. A few people actually saying that they've gone back and listened to previous episodes. If anyone's a new listener, I would definitely encourage that, going back through some of the archive of the episodes. Episode one, it sort of started off where I was talking to a mentor of mine, Rob Moore, and it was a really sort of in-depth interview. He was interviewing me, and you would have heard me at the time at quite a sort of strange point in my life where I'd been going through a few things, and I was quite sort of nervous and scared of a lot of things. And he was talking to me about that. And we talked a lot about sort of anxiety and mental health and how to sort of, you know, look after yourself and that sort of stuff. And I was sort of making more moves into theatre again, which is what I was doing before Strictly. I'm at a very different point in my life now where I'm actually sort of, I feel like I'm where I want to be, and I feel a lot more together than then. I think I've come a long way since that first episode. So I think that first episode is quite an interesting listen if you listen back on it. We've also had some amazing guests on the show. We've had Russell Brand on the show. Joanne Clifton, I was about to bring her in. I didn't officially bring her in yet, but my sister is here. She's been on the show. We've had Russell Brand on the show. We've had lots of different sort of actors and singers and performers and writers and a lot of dancers, obviously, sort of Strictly pros and ex-celebs from Strictly Come Dancing. We did a whole season last year while Strictly was on, where we were reviewing the show, which sort of went down very well. So there's loads of cool episodes to listen to if you're a new listener. If you're a returning listener, thank you very much. And I will explain why. Sort of had a couple of months off from the podcast. So, Joe, I was talking to you about this briefly the other day. I think I've got this thing, right, where I need to know all the time. If I'm working on something and I'm working hard, I need to know that I've got playtime at the end of it. I need to know that I've got like an hour or so of my own time at the end of it. Because otherwise I start to feel sort of overwhelmed and overworked, and I'll burn out quickly, and I'll start to resent the work that I'm doing. So for those, I'm sure many of you know, for those of you who don't know, at the moment I am performing as Cosmo Brown in Singing in the Rain at Sadler's Wells Theatre in London. And I won't tell the whole story at this point. There's a really mad story of how it all came to be. And you know, basically I was sort of learning a new skill during lockdown, and we're going to tell this story and possibly even on Stacey Dooley's BBC Sounds podcast, which if you haven't listened to that yet, it's called Fresh Starts. It's a really amazing podcast on BBC Sounds. But long story short, I had to work ridiculously hard to get anywhere near playing this role, in London. And it's taken a lot of energy and a lot of concentration and focus and a lot of work, which I've figured out that I'm happy to do. We do a lot of self-reflection on this podcast and sort of acknowledging things that you like and things that you surround yourself with and all that. And I've noticed that I really like working hard on something if I'm really passionate about it. But if I feel like that's the only thing in my life, I start to resent it. So I go on.
I think that's everybody though. I do feel like everybody, well, I suppose you get workaholics, don't you? But you always gotta, I always like at the end of the day to think that I can sit down and watch Love Island or something on Netflix, or have a bath and put some candles on. Or for me, it's about food actually. I love like the thought of just having a break and just eating a nice meal.
Well, I was wondering if it comes from a little bit, and this might be sort of like, you know, from doing therapy here and there and bits and bobs, but like, you know, like when we were kids, like dancing was everything all the time. Like we'd come home from school and it was a dance class. Pretty much every night we'd have like a different dance class or dance lesson, or we'd be, yeah, you know, or we'd be traveling to, you know, Liverpool or Birmingham or London or, you know, whatever it was for dance lessons or a competition coming up or whatever. And sometimes it would be like, you know, my mates would be out playing footy, or they'd got the new, you know, football game for their computer or whatever. And I, or there's a film come out that everyone's seen and I haven't. And there was always this sense with me that like, I would get this, like, I'm missing out on those things. And so that's why, remember when I was a kid, always, like, we'd be like dancing all night or whatever, and we'd come home and it'd be like bedtime, and I'd be like, no,
no, you'd always play up.
Yeah, because I always wanted that extra like hour of like, can't I just do what I want for an hour? Can I not like just play on that football game, or, you know, watch a bit of TV, or, you know, whatever the thing was, like kick a ball around outside. Like, I just wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to know that I had my own bit of time at some point, which is why, like, when I'm working and working and working, I tend to end up staying up, like, quite late, yeah, just so I can have my own time. And I figured, yeah, like, I've got this thing that I do where, like, even now as a grown-up, that it's the same thing. It was the same, like, when, you know, you always going about when we were revising, when it was exam time. I know loads of people have just done their exams and getting their A-level results and stuff. When we were in that situation, I was actually like, you and mum and dad always thought I was crap at revising for exams, but
not actually, crap, you just didn't want to.
Yeah, well, I think I was pretty good at it, and I would have like real focus for a period of time. But if I felt like it was being forced on me that like you have to revise for the next 4 hours and then you go into bed, then I would just hate it and I would be terrible at it because there's nothing at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd be like, no, I'm going to structure it this way. I'm going to revise for my exams for an hour, and then I'm going to have 45 minutes of playing on my football game, and then I'll go back to revising, and then at the end of it, I'll have another, you know, I'll watch the football or whatever. And so yeah, I've always been like that. And the thing was, to get back to my point, is like we're getting ready for Singing in the Rain. It took so much kind of practice and energy and time and focus and dedication. And I also had sort of a couple of other projects on the go that I'm dealing with, that I think I felt that like, if I haven't got any, like I subconsciously did that same thing where I went, if I haven't got any time of my own at the end of this, even just to hang out with Stace or whatever, I'm going to go nuts and I'm going to start hating it before I've even started. So I think what happened is like something had to give in terms of like there's other projects that I've got, you know, sort of sizzling away in the background. Singing in the Rain was taking up all of my energy, which I'm glad about because I love it. Like I'm so passionate about it, and I absolutely adore performing in this show now that I'm doing it. And I've loved learning, you know, to get ready for it. But something had to give, and it wasn't going to be like my hour that I get to like sit and watch Netflix with Stace. Do you know what I mean? I needed that. So I think the idea of like doing all of this work until I'm absolutely exhausted, and then going, and then I'm going to record a podcast, and then I'll have to go to bed. It became like, like subconsciously it becomes panicky for me.
Yeah, so, but now you've settled in.
Yeah.
Now you've settled in. You can organize days more, can't you?
Exactly. That's the thing. Now I'm settled into the show. You know, like I know what I'm doing. I don't have to be doing it all day, every day. And we're into a pattern now where it's like, you know, I've got a show tonight as we're recording this. Yeah. I've got a show tonight at 7:30, but right now we're just recording this during the day. I've got like my time is a little bit freer. So now I feel I can like dedicate more energy to the podcast again. But that's why, everyone, is the podcast has had a little bit of a break. But please come and see us in Singing in the Rain. We're performing at Sadler's Wells until September 5th.
You don't want to miss out on this one. And I'm not saying it because he's paid me. It is actually a really good show. And if you're sitting near the front, bring a poncho.
Yeah, there's a splash zone near the front. I'm really hoping to, now that we've settled into the run, I'm actually hoping to interview some of them from the cast. I would... They did say yes, like earlier in rehearsals. They might have forgotten, but I'm going to ask them again. I'd love to interview like Adam Cooper and Faye Tozer and Charlotte Gooch. And I know you interviewed Charlotte on your podcast.
Yeah.
She's not just a dancer podcast. And just people involved in the show. I'd love to do a little bit of a Singing in the Rain series. So we're doing that at Sadler's Wells Theatre in London. It's genuinely one of the best things I've ever done, I think. And
the role suits you.
It's funny, like, I mean, I'll tell them a deeper story at some point, like I said, maybe even on Stacey's podcast, but the first bit of it is that, like, we watched it on Christmas Day. We watched Singing in the Rain on Christmas Day. And this was before any of it came about, like before I knew that, like, it was even a possibility. It was just me and Stacey in the house, and I thought, we've got to do something Christmassy. It can't just be another day in the house, just the two of us. And Singing in the Rain was on TV, and I was like, we're going to watch Singing in the Rain. Stacey had no idea what it was. She's like, what's this? I'm like, you're joking. Singing in the Rain.
Of course she didn't.
How have you not heard of Singing in the Rain? It's like going, oh, should we listen to this Beatles record? Oh, who's the Beatles? Do you know what I mean? It's like, you want a drink of water? What's water? Oh, I've heard of it. I think.
That's so typically her, though. Oh, what's Singing in the Rain? I liked it when I did Panto, and she's like, what? I've never been to a Panto. I'm like, well, how have you ever been? Never been to a Panto.
Yeah. But we watched Singing in the Rain. Obviously, I've known it for years and years and years. Like, we were brought up on things like Singing in the Rain. I, you know, I've watched Singing in the Rain hundreds of times. Every time we went to Nan's house, Singing in the Rain was on. So I've just been brought up on it, like, sort of idolizing it. You hold it up like as one of the, especially in terms of the dancing, like, it's one of the greatest musicals of all time. You know, it's right up there in like the sort of top five lists of everyone, I think. And you know, as ballroom dancers, I think we steal from Singing in the Rain quite a lot, because they've got some incredible dance scenes in it and choreography. And I know Jason Gilkison really loves it. And, you know, like, you always look back at the YouTube clips. And I've watched the Make 'em Laugh clip that Donald O'Connor does as Cosmo Brown. I'm not even joking. Like, for most of my life, since YouTube was a thing, I've probably watched that clip on YouTube once every 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like it's a little bit like things were leading up for you to do it? So it'll be that you were watching that. It'll be that you watched it on Christmas Day. It'll be the fact that you did it with Susanna, like your first series.
I want to do a whole podcast on, like, manifestation. And, like, sometimes people think that, like, when you're trying to manifest a dream, you know, I want to do this with my life. People, you know, and there's things like The Secret, you know, the book.
Yeah.
Or people talk about manifesting. I think people think that it's a case of thinking about it and saying it and then it happens, like there's some kind of magic, and they misinterpret what it actually means. What happens is, like, so Tony Robbins talks about this thing. I know that we've sort of gone way off topic straight away from what we're going to talk about in this podcast, but Tony Robbins, who I did his course and he sort of changed my life, talks about this thing, right? If you, like, and everyone can do this at home right now, I want you to think of the color brown. Right. And I want you to look around the room and find everything in the room that's brown. Right. Just keep looking and take note of every single thing in your surroundings right now. Or even if you're looking out the window, whatever, everything that's brown. Right. And you've got that in your head. And then he asks the question, right, list all the green things. Like, all that's in your head is all the brown stuff. That's your perception of your space and your world and your room right now, because you haven't been focusing on the green stuff. You've been focusing on the brown stuff, right? So sometimes you sort of create your own, you create your own world just by the things that you put in it, the things that you take notice of. And it becomes your perception of the world. Like, if you're only reading one newspaper, you're going to start to have the opinion of that newspaper.
Yeah.
If you're just reading whatever, the Daily Mail, you're going to have the opinions of the Daily Mail. So,
but the whole point of it is, because I do it a lot, like, rather than The Secret, I do The Magic. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of thing. But, like, in the first page of one of those books, it says, I want you to visualize a blue feather and just really visualize it in all its detail and stuff for however long. And then you will see a blue, you'll forget about it, and then you'll see a blue feather. But the thing is that happens is you don't really forget about it. You're constantly looking now for this blue feather. And that's the whole point of it. You're focused on what you want to do so much. You're trying to do that.
Because your brain is a computer. Your brain's like a computer and it has a hard drive. And I've had this explained to me on one of the episodes on the podcast, on this podcast by some very clever people. That they were talking about, like, the sort of synapses in our brain and the way it all works. Our brain is ever changing and ever sort of evolving, and it actually physically changes shape, your brain, depending on, like, certain things. Like, if you're constantly thinking about positive stuff, and that's why people say practice being grateful. You know, list five things before you go to bed that you're grateful about. There's a part of your brain that stores that. This is obviously in very simple terms. Cleverer people will explain it in more technical terms. But in essence, there's a part of your brain that stores that gratitude, right? And if you're constantly doing that, that bit of the brain forms new, like, I don't know if synapses is the right word, but the bits of that brain, it forms new ones. And changes shape and gets bigger for that. So if you're constantly being grateful, your brain starts to store more and more grateful and happy type thoughts.
Yeah, you just live better.
Yeah.
I feel like you live better. I've done it now since 2017, like writing 10 gratefuls before I go to sleep. Yeah. And you wake up in the new day feeling better.
Yeah.
And it makes you realise that you have got so much to be grateful for rather than focusing on the negative.
Yeah. So, like, you know when... Like, so sometimes your brain has these things stored in them, right? Like a hard drive on a computer. And sometimes it just decides to do things. Your brain just decides to throw something at you. It's like your synapses. I keep saying synapses. I think that's the right term. But your synapses just fire because it has like a little mind of its own, your brain. It does its own thing. That's why we dream. We're asleep when we dream, but our brain's still doing its thing and telling you things and creating little stories. And, you know, and you're living in that stories and your perception is that is happening. That is happening as you're dreaming. You have no other feeling apart from this is what's happening right now. And that's what your brain's telling you. So do you ever have that thing where, like, you'll be walking along, you'll be like walking to work or whatever, and suddenly your brain just goes, for absolutely no reason, your brain will go, and this is one example, it could be anything, but it'll just suddenly go, I'd rather have a bowl of cocoa. You're like, what? Where did that come from? And you're like, it's because somehow when we were kids, that advert was like ingrained in our brains. I'd rather have a bowl of cocoa pops. Or you'll start thinking of like a Kylie Minogue song or something. You'll be walking along and you'll find that you're like, you're walking along to a beat of a song in your head. Do you know, you'll be going, la, 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 la. And I'm not even really into that song. I don't really listen to a lot of Kylie. But like suddenly I'll be going, I think for the last half an hour I've been singing la 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 in my head for no reason. So
do you remember when we were kids though? Do you remember when we were kids? I know we'll get back to that point. We would just come up with random songs and just keep singing it, but we'd be deadly serious, but we were both kind of in sync. You'd start it off and then I'd join in.
Yeah. But so the thing is, your brain stores these things, right? And the where manifestation comes into it is that if you really want something and you know that it's something that you really enjoy, you know that something that is important to you, it's like subconsciously it goes into your brain as like this positive thing or this thing that you want. And therefore, like you said, if you're constantly thinking about a feather, at some point you'll see a feather because you're more in tune with it. Your brain is more aware of those things.
Focused on it.
Whereas if you've never thought of a feather before in your life, you'll walk past a feather and not notice it. Because it's not happening in your brain, right? So if you're just obsessed with writing, like subconsciously you end up making decisions that you perhaps wouldn't have made before because your brain keeps leaning towards writing. You might notice that someone is putting on like a writing course, whereas you might not have noticed it. You might have walked past it. Like there might be a flyer for it on a shop window and you might have walked past it. But if your brain is in tune with like and thinks a lot about like writing, you'll notice that flyer and you might have a look at it and subconsciously you're thinking, yeah, maybe I'll go to that at some point. And then you might end up going. And it's that's not you thinking about becoming a writer and you become one. Just you, like, your brain's sort of almost subconsciously is doing its thing and taking note and leaning towards things. So I think for me, with Singing in the Rain, like, I've watched Singing in the Rain so many times, at Nan's house. We would go to, you know, when we went to Disney World with Mum and Dad, and there's that great movie ride.
Yeah, I loved that movie ride.
There's a great bit where it's got, like, Gene Kelly hanging off the lamppost, dude, singing in the rain. You know, when I've worked with Jason Gilkerson, he's showed me, he references clips from it, you know, says, I want this kind of vibe, da-da-da-da-da. As choreographers, we steal from it all the time. You know, you did Singing in the Rain on Strictly. I did Singing in the Rain with Susanna, did Good Morning on Strictly. There was a moment in New York when we were there, when we were on Broadway with Burn the Floor. There was one day where it started absolutely belting down with rain. There was a few of us out, and there was a photographer who was taking pictures of the show for, like, this coffee table book. And he was with us, and we were just going for something to eat. And it was absolutely, you know, like the heaviest rain you can imagine, just an absolute storm. And we were all taking shelter under this, like, shop front. There was me, like, Jeremy and Sarah Garner were there, and photographers. And everyone, like, no one dared go out into it. It was just belting down. And I couldn't resist it because there was a lamppost on the street and, like, a curb. You know the dance that Gene Kelly does, jumping on and off? And I could see this puddle building by the curb and this lamppost, and I just couldn't resist it. So I jumped out, I was in a t-shirt, I jumped out and started dancing in the puddles around the curb, jumped up onto the lamppost and put my arm out like Gene Kelly and went, I'm singing in the rain. And the photographer took a picture of it. And I'm trying to find that picture because it's around somewhere. Jeremy says he's going to try and find it. But, like, there's this wicked picture of, like, me, like, in a t-shirt in New York, like 10 years ago or whatever, 12 years ago, doing the Gene Kelly. And it's like this subconscious thing. And then for on Christmas Day, back to the story, we're watching Singing in the Rain, and Stace at the end of it, having known nothing about it, and I'm giving it, like, yeah, this and Sid Charisse and Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, like, I always watch the Make 'em Laugh clip, blah 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 blah. And she actually took I posted on my Instagram that she took a little video of me. And she caught me, like, because I'm so obsessed with it. And then as soon as it had finished, like, I was like, did you like it? She said, yeah, that was fun. That was good. She said, they should make a show out of this. And I was like, yeah, Stace, it's Singing in the Rain. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's a very famous thing. Like, it's already a show. And she went, oh, right. Well, she goes, out of everything I've seen you do, I think that your perfect role is Cosmo Brown in Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
How mad is that?
I know.
It's your perfect role. And I was like, oh, God, I mean, that'd be amazing. But, you know, long story short, didn't think much more of it. And like I say, I'll tell this story in more detail at some point. But a couple of months later, after that lifetime of stuff of Singing in the Rain and then Stace saying that at Christmas, a few months later, my agent called me and went, Kev, what do you think about playing Cosmo Brown in Singing in the Rain?
That's so weird.
Mental. It's so, so weird. Crazy. But now we look at that and go, oh, but, you know, that's such a mental coincidence that happened. But it's not, is it? It's a buildup of lifetime stuff that has led towards it. And subconsciously, I've been leaning towards it. Borrowing from Singing in the Rain, like watching Cosmo Brown all the time. And therefore, it's informed a lot of my character, say, on Strictly Come Dancing. There was a lot of Brown influences in in a lot of the numbers that I would have done on Strictly, you know, and doing the numbers. I've been leaning towards it forever to the point where they might even have thought of me as being right for the role.
Yeah, maybe.
That's it. So this podcast was not meant to be about manifestation, but that's how manifestation works.
But I tell you what, Kev, we'll talk about it more later on, but my Singing in the Rain versus your Good Morning is a good Champions League discussion.
Yes, okay, well, that's a good segue. So, another reason why this podcast is now coming back with a vengeance is it's Strictly season again. Woo! And Strictly season was really fun on the podcast last year. We had a lot of chats. We did a review show every week after each episode of Strictly. So we've decided to do it again because everyone was messaging us and saying, are we doing the Strictly shows again? And it went down really well and everyone enjoyed it and we enjoyed doing it. So we've decided that we We are going to do a review show every week once again after the Strictly shows. But we've also decided to take it a bit further this year. We've decided to do more content now that we've got a bit more time for it and stuff. We've decided to include more things. So first of all, a really cool thing, something that I've always wanted to do, is we talked about, because I'm a big fan of football phone-ins, we've talked about doing like the Strictly phone-in, haven't we? So we did one session at the end of the season last year where we just invited a load of listeners onto a Zoom to talk about Strictly.
Oh, we got so many, didn't we?
Their opinions, and hundreds of people came on and told us what they loved and, you know, who they thought, who they really liked and whatever about the Strictly season. So what we thought we would start doing is our own review shows as normal on the podcast. And then we're going to try and do a Zoom where it's basically like a football phone-in, but it's going to be the Strictly phone-in, where you can come and chat to us and give your opinions on what you liked or didn't like about, you know, judges' scores or dances or who.
And you can ask us questions, like,
yeah,
ask us questions. What maybe what did the judges mean by that when they said this? Because we didn't get it.
Yeah. So just like I listen to the football phone-in on 606 with Robbie Savage and Chris Sutton every week, you can listen to the Strictly phone-in, or come and be involved in the Strictly Zoom with us and ask us questions, give us your opinions and all of that sort of thing. We'll let you know the details of how to sign up for this soon. It'll be a Patreon event. Joe knows more about Patreon than I do. So Joe's sort of helping me with that. But we're gonna have a Patreon event. Like I say, we'll do all of our review shows as normal on the Kevin Clifton Show podcast every week. But if you want to get involved and, you know, be someone who wants to give your opinion on the show, and we'll release it as a podcast every week as well, get your opinions out there and ask us questions and stuff on a Zoom every week. There is going to be a Patreon page that we're going to set up, because we really want to hear from all of you. We want you lot on the podcast.
You are the ones who are voting at the end of the day. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes across at home and what you guys see, whether you agree with the judges, how intense it gets when you're supporting a couple, when you're behind that couple, but maybe they don't dance so well, you know, all of that.
Because it's fascinating to me, because we can give our opinions, but one, we've been ballroom dancing all our lives, and two, we've both been on the show for a few years. Like, we've both been on the inside of the show. So it's always fascinating to me what comes across through the TV to someone who hasn't been on the show, you know, like to a viewer who just loves watching it, what comes across, what their initial instincts are, and you know, sort of what opinions are being formed about the different dances and the different contestants. I find it so fascinating, because everyone has different opinions. So yeah, we want to talk to you. We don't just want our opinions, we want your opinions. So we're going to, yeah.
Every week.
We're going to do that. And another thing, so Joe mentioned, it'd be a good debate, which was best, Ore and Joanne's Singing in the Rain number on Strictly, or Kevin and Susanna's Singing in the Rain number on Strictly. So what we wanted to do as well, we wanted to basically have some episodes, which will also be part of the Patreon, where we're doing debates.
Champions League.
Well, Champions League is another thing, isn't it? We're doing debates about dances against each other. So it could be, you know, Jay's Jive. If you think of some of the absolutely, you know, best numbers or whatever, it could be like Jay's Jive versus, throw out another banger, Jake Wood's Salsa.
Yeah.
You know, like which number was better? Or we could do like which jive was better, or which waltz was better out of these two waltzes, or, you know, whose show dance was better out of these two. And we take one against another each week and basically debate the two. A versus episode, this one versus that one. So we want to do that.
We don't know yet. Yeah, we don't know whether that'll be like after the series or not. We don't know yet.
It depends on how much time we have between the Zooms with everyone and our own episodes. But yeah, that's going to be part of our sort of constant Strictly content on the Patreon. And also, What we want to put together, which we've been chatting about, which is really exciting, is the Champions League of Strictly Come Dancing. So what we'd like to do is basically take all of the champions, in the same way that obviously I'm obsessed with football, but like take all the champions of Strictly Come Dancing and put them all up against each other into like a Champions League. So, and we'll go from like a week one and we'll compare everyone's week one dances against each other and we can score them. And maybe even like people who signed up to the Patreon can vote on it as well. Maybe that's the way to do it, is that we give our scores, combine them with judges' scores at the time.
Yeah.
And then have the voters poll as well to see, and you know, we'll get points for everyone. And we'll have like a league table.
That's so exciting.
Champions League table. And then we go to week two. Or maybe it's like everyone's waltz and everyone's tango. Or
yeah, I think that's better.
Maybe that's the way to do it. Because some seasons there's less weeks than others.
Yeah.
So I think we compare everyone's waltzes. We compare everyone's tangos. We compare everyone's jive, everyone, whatever. And we form our Champions League table of all the Strictly champions and see who is like the ultimate Champions League winner out of all the champions. So... We'll give our comments and scores on that, and then we'll invite you to perhaps have your say and vote on that as well. So that's all content. So we're really upping our Strictly content game.
I mean, we might even just be doing daily stuff as well. Just like daily sound bites on like what we thought of It Takes Two, for example. What was said, anything that was said on It Takes Two the night before. You know, the next morning we might put either one of us or both of us might have put on a little thing about what we thought.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have like daily Strictly. Very much, again, inspired by football. Girls listen to the Football Daily podcast every while the Euros were on. So we'll have Strictly Daily as well. So like I say, we'll still have the weekly review show on the Kevin Clifton Show podcast. But on the Patreon, and we're going to set this up and let you know all the details of how to sign up. You know, price of a couple of cups of coffee, maybe something like that. We're going to have loads of fun Strictly content, but the most exciting, I think, is the one where basically you get to come on a Zoom every week with us and ask questions and give your opinions.
You know what? I really, because you looked at me then in the camera, I thought you were going to say the most exciting one, though, is that you get to come on with me and talk about. You were going to say that I was lucky to come and talk to you.
Quick viewers, the quick viewing audience, they're the important ones. Yeah. Because it was fun last year when we did it. And then I really enjoyed when we did the Zoom at the end of the series, when everyone just came on and we just all chatted.
Lots of people came on and had lots of opinions. And it's really nice. I think we should. You guys are the voters. So we should give you your chance and your say.
Yeah.
Not just like from dialing on a phone to put your votes in. Because we actually want to hear the opinions.
Because you see things that we don't. Like you see it from the outside, whereas we all see it from the inside. You know, we know how these dances come together and why they've perhaps made these decisions and blah, 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 blah. But it's always interesting to hear what you think. But okay, so it's basically going to be your one-stop shop for everything Strictly this season. But before we start it, like, let's just have a quick little look at, we've got a couple of new things this year. We have four new professionals this year.
Yeah.
So, Joe, do you know these pros? Like, what's your thoughts on
I know team? Kai. I don't know any of them well, but I've met Kai quite a lot. And when I used to live with Katia, then he used to come and stay as well. So I know him. And he was on it last year, wasn't he? Was he in the group dances?
He wasn't officially a pro. He was on the show and he was dancing in group dances. And I believe he was a big part of rehearsals. But I don't think they officially named him as a pro last year. But this year he's now officially a pro. And he was also on the Irish version of the show.
Yeah, and did very, very well. I feel like he's a more kind of, because it's like, I know they're not, they would never like try and replace you guys exactly, but he is probably more your style of who they were kind of replacing since he left.
It's
probably a bit better looking.
Well, it's like a cast, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like casting a musical. You want different kinds of performers, different heights, different temperaments, different style, you know. It's like a cast. So you can't have too many of the same type of dancer. So yeah, Kai's gone in.
Jovita, obviously won the greatest dancer. She's small, she's lifts, she does lifts, she does, she's fearless.
Well, Jeanette replacement then.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like you said, not specifically like not trying to do the same thing, but if you're
that kind of style.
Being in the same ballpark, if Kai is sort of the ballpark of me, Jovita is the ballpark of Jeanette, I would say.
She's from what I've met her a few times, she's very bubbly, happy girl. Mm. So I think she's a great addition.
Yeah, so I know Kai and Jovita. Not well,
yeah,
but
same.
I know them. The other two I don't know.
I know Nikita. No. I've never met Cameron. I don't know about Cameron. I've met Nikita because he trained when I used to live in Italy. So the same school as me, Giovanni, Nadia, Graziano. He came to our school as well. But the thing is, I feel really old. So when he was announced, I was like, oh my gosh, like he's doing all his pose with his flapier and stuff like that. So I'm guessing he's coming in as quite a sexy one. Maybe a kind of like Gleb / AJ Pritchard because he's young.
Maybe the AJ sort of bracket because he's that young, blonde, floppy haired, you know.
But, you know, his picture that he sent in. Well, this is the thing. When I was there, he was like very young. He was a kid. And that's why I feel old seeing him now.
Hmm. Is he Russian?
Pardon?
Russian.
Yeah. But he lived in Italy most of his life.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And Cameron, I don't know. I don't know anything about Cameron.
He's come over from South Africa, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe Johannes and Oti would know more about him. Yeah. He's not someone I've come across. But then I'm a little bit out of the,
competition world.
Competition world for a while, so I wouldn't necessarily know. But looking forward to see what he can bring to the show. From a couple of little clips I've seen on Instagram, he seems full of energy and full of life.
Great, four great additions.
Yeah, so it's interesting to have four new pros. That's a big batch to come in. I remember that the year I came in 2013, there was five new ones,
and
that
was a
big one. But we haven't really had any sort of new ones in terms of a big turnaround for a while. So this is quite exciting. Saying that, I don't know what you think about, you know, some other pros. I would love to see Graziano get a partner this year.
Yeah, I definitely would. And maybe Nancy as well. I'd love to see what Nancy brings to the table. Like, I think she's a phenomenal dancer. When she did Burn the Floor, and then she danced with you, didn't she, in the Carmen number.
Nancy is so good. Yeah, she's brilliant. I think probably the audience don't know her yet because she hasn't been put in a position they're allowed to know her, if you know what I mean. But she's a phenomenal dancer. She was a real star in that Burn the Floor tour in 2019. Shout out to Burn the Floor, by the way. Going out on tour again in January. So come and see us on tour. So Nancy was brilliant. But like Graziano, I think, is someone who's really underrated.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, sorry, I was just... go on.
Yeah, I think Graziano is underrated. I think, you know, he's only had a partner on the main show once.
But that's happened to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a partner and then didn't, and then went on to win it, so... You know, it kind of spurs you on when you haven't got a partner, but then you get one. You want to show what you can do.
Yeah.
And really do. So I feel like he'll do that. He's such a lovely person with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think two others, which I'm hoping will join the cast soon, are his girlfriend Jada, and also Lauren Oakley. Oh, I saw Lauren at Him and Me, Anton and Giovanni's show, and for me she was just phenomenal. I mean, we know she was phenomenal anyway from Burn the Floor, but like, you couldn't take your eyes off her. And the people I went with as well, they were like, you can't take your eyes off that girl.
I didn't see the show because we had to, the whole Singing in the Rain cast were like basically like, stay away from large groups of people because trying to keep, you know, theatres are got to stay on stage at the moment, so we're taking it all very seriously. So I didn't get to see it, but everyone that I've spoken to who went to see it, the first thing they said was Lauren was amazing. Yeah. Star of the show.
And I feel like she's got her own style. She's very different from everybody else. Like she, with her short, in the look, like short hair, she's tall, long-legged, tall. She's got short hair, this Birmingham accent. She's, people call her Betty Boop because she's kind of like that kind of vintagey style. And I think she'd be a great addition. And I think Giardellini would be as well.
Yeah, Giard is exceptional. Like, because we went to see, me and Tommy and Jess went to see Here Come the Boys.
Yeah.
Came out of the Palladium. And Graziano and Giada looked $1 million in that show. Right, to me, Graziano, I'd love to see him with a partner, and I'd love to see Giada on the show. And you're right, yeah. I'd love to see Lauren on the show as well. Like, I feel like they're really missing a trick if Lauren's not there.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it'd be great to see Graziano, it'd be great to see Nancy with partners, but they've got so many options. It's like squad at the moment. Like they've got so many options that like, they could go with. And with these four new pros, you know, I don't know how many celebs they're going to have.
I don't know. How many have been announced? It's like we'll talk 10 about 11, isn't it? 11 have been announced.
11 have been announced. So let's talk about the celebs on the next one, next podcast.
Okay. When
hopefully they've all been announced. But I don't know how many places there'll be to dance with a celeb.
I'm not sure. I know that they're not doing Blackpool, are they, again this year?
They're not doing Blackpool, so I've heard.
No.
But I don't know. I don't know how many weeks there are. How many celebs there's going to be?
Yeah.
But it's all getting very exciting. I can't believe it's Strictly Time again.
I know. What about Anton and Jeanette? Obviously.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So, from what I've heard, it's not like a permanent sort of like this is the decision now. It's the same as last year. Bruno can't travel between America and Britain all the time between the two shows, because he does Dancing with the Stars over there. So they've called it early and said rather than worrying about it, Anton's going to judge this year. Now, that could lead to Anton being a permanent judge. I have no idea. Obviously, he did a great job for a couple of weeks last year.
Yeah.
Anton feels like it sort of feels right.
I think it feels right. And I also love the fact that he's mainly ballroom because we did have Len.
Yeah.
Who wasn't, well, was he mainly ballroom, Len? I can't remember. But maybe it was 10 dance. But the but now you've got Craig, who's more theatrical. You've got Bruno with his style. But you've got two mainly Latin guys, even though they're experts in ballroom as well. But like they dance Latin. I like the fact that Anton's coming in and he was predominantly a ballroom dancer.
Yeah. So I think it feels right. Anton's judging, I think he's a great addition to the panel. I don't think anyone's complaining about that. And then the big news that Jeanette's not going to be a pro this
year. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't. That she's going to be taking over from Zoe, presenting It Takes Two.
I literally didn't see. I can see why they would pick her to do It Takes Two. And I'm so happy for her because it's like a dream of hers to be a presenter and have her own show. So here she is. I just didn't see it coming that she would give up the dancing. I don't know why. I just didn't. That's the part I didn't believe. I was like, what? She's not going to dance. Mm.
That's pretty interesting. It's a whole new sort of addition to what's going on. Like things have moved around this year. Like they're changing it up. And certainly does a good job of that. Like they're very good at keeping things the same and then gradually changing bits here and there. So rather than like, you know, an X Factor, the problem with X Factor for me is that a lot of the time they used to, because I don't think it's going to be on anymore, is it, X Factor?
No.
And like if it didn't beat Strictly in the ratings, which, you know, I'm not dissing the show. Everyone loved the show. It was a great show. But like for the last however many years, Strictly was way ahead in the ratings compared to X Factor. And X Factor's answer every year was, right, this year we're shaking it all up to try to get any interest. But it's like every year it was a big shake-up, like the big shake-up of the judges, or the format was going to be completely different, or, you know, everything's new this year. And the problem with that is, I think, for me, shows like Strictly and those Saturday night shows, people don't want too much change. They don't want, like, if they came in this year and went, this year it's a big shakeup. The show is going to be completely different. It's going to look different. The format's different. We've got all new judges. The like, everyone, it scares people off a little bit.
Yeah.
What Strictly are good at, to me, is keeping it like, it always feels like an old, nice, like your favorite jumper that you put on. Strictly.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Love Actually or Muppets Christmas Carol at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like, we've all seen Love Actually 100 million times, right? Or, you know, whatever your favorite, or Home Alone or Muppets Christmas, whatever your favorite Christmas movie is, you'll still watch it every Christmas, even though you know what happens. They're not going to change it up. Like, Joe Pesci's not going to kill Kevin at the end of the film. You know, it's all going to be all right with the Muppets, and they're going to sing a song, and, you know, the guy's still going to do the thing with the boards in Love Actually. You know, like, it's all going to work out how you know it works out, but you still watch it because sometimes you just want that comfort. You don't want to be surprised and shocked and whatever. And to me, what Strictly's really good at is keeping that vibe of, like, it's always the show that you know and love, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just an old comfy sweater and a Christmas movie. That's what Strictly is. But they're good at gradually just making changes here and there and moving with the times, so it never gets stale.
Interestingly, there was some, I saw one of, when you announced about the podcast, we were going back on, and somebody said, oh, Strictly's past its time. This should be the last series. I really hope that person comes onto the Zoom that we're going to do and tells us why. Well, because I don't feel it is.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you why that person won't turn up. Because that person was one of them on Twitter that doesn't have a picture and just has a sort of random numbers and whatever as a...
Oh, okay.
And sort of zero followers, or like 12.
Right, okay.
That person's just a troll.
All right, okay. I didn't look into it that much.
Either it's a troll or they're sort of... It's someone working for a newspaper or something trying to bait me into giving an answer so that there can be a...
Right, okay.
So... That's not a thing. Like, it's fun, like, it's been really nice, actually. Like, Twitter can be such a horrible place sometimes, but, you know, because people just want to complain about everything. But actually, since I sort of tweeted about, you know, look, what we're looking forward to, you know, whatever, like, how are we feeling about it? The overwhelming response has been, I'm really looking forward to the series. Can't wait. This lineup is brilliant.
This is the thing, the lineup, they're all saying how brilliant it is. Normally you get like, oh, haven't heard of them.
This boring kind of stale argument of like, well, I haven't heard of seven of them. It's like, well, of course you haven't. You don't know everything and everybody.
No, but I was talking to people on a Zoom thing that I did, and they were like, and they said, and they are Strictly fans, Strictly, they watch it, and they said, you know, you get a lot of them saying that, and then by week three, they're like, no, everything about them, then they're biggest fans.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with Strictly. Like, you become a fan of someone on Strictly, don't you? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't watch Coronation Street, but if someone from Coronation Street is on TV, just because I don't watch it, that doesn't mean that person isn't worthy of being on Strictly Come Dancing.
I know, it's so random what people...
It's a strange argument, isn't it? Like...
It's ridiculous.
Well, I've never heard of him. Okay, but a lot of people have. It was like, the biggest one, we had this argument all the time, was with Joe Sugg. When Joe Sugg...
Oh, yeah.
And he had a bigger following than anyone on the show.
Yeah.
Like, millions of people following him on social media. Well, I've never heard of him. Okay, but these few million people have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's more people than watch that cooking show or whatever that you know that person from. Like, it's so like, they think that everything has to be sort of tailored towards them. And the other strange one that I get on them, I've had a guy just on Twitter just now saying to me, and I sort of replied to me, and it went the way I thought it would go. He goes, oh, well, I'm not watching it anymore since it's all gone all woke and politically.
I saw that.
Every time you push someone who uses their work, none of these people really understand what woke means. They've just heard it in, like, you know, GB News and the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And so everything's woke, you know, like.
I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
But like, so originally the term was to do with being awake to being able to think for yourself and not have your opinion handed to you by certain news outlets or tabloids or, you know, or whatever. It sort of came out of like being awake. You're awake to what's going on rather than just being a sheep following the masses, you know, whatever. But now it's sort of been hijacked as a term by the right wing, who basically just call everything woke that they don't like. So, but especially anything, if they see anything as being like politically correct or something, it becomes like, you know, like if there's someone on a show who is home, like I'm not talking about strictly, I'm talking about anything. If there's someone on the show and they happen to be homosexual,
yeah,
oh, woke, forcing it down my throat, shoved down my throat, woke. Do you know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, what's your actual issue that someone's homosexual?
Yeah.
Because that's homophobic. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so if anything happens, basically, it's like if anyone who turns up on a show or whatever isn't sort of a straight white male middle class. It's not that, it's woke, basically.
Okay. Boring.
Yeah, so some guy comes on and was like, I won't watch it anymore. Now it's gone all woke. And I replied to him. I shouldn't have done, but I replied to him and I went, I said, have you.
Should have left it, like Ricky Gervais.
But I replied and said, could you please explain to me what you mean by, like, what are the parts of it that you would see as woke or politically correct? And you already know what the answer was. Well, I'm allowed to have an opinion.
No.
Listen to me. I asked you for your opinion. Like, it's like, because when they don't know what to say, it's freedom of speech. I'm allowed to have an opinion. No. Let's just accept that everyone is allowed an opinion. It's not a debate about freedom of speech. You've said your opinion already, and no one's cancelling you. In fact, I've done the opposite. I've taken the conversation further on a public platform and gone, please explain to me your position. Explain to me your opinion. What exactly is woke? Well, I'm allowed to have an opinion just because you don't agree with it. I said, I didn't say I didn't agree with it. I'm asking you to explain it, but they never can.
No.
Because they don't really have an explanation for what woke is. It's just something they've heard in certain newspapers and certain TV programs.
Yeah.
So you know, and then the one thing, you know, that he finally came up with was like, why do we have to have same-sex couples? Which is such a boring thing to say now. And I just went back and said, why not have same-sex couples? Like, you're the one complaining about it. Don't ask me about it. It's not,
We
don't have to have it, but we're having it. You're the one that's offended, not me.
Because
people that always complain about things being woke also use this narrative that everyone's offended by everything all the time. You can't say anything anymore. And I'm you're the one that's offended. You're the one that's complaining about this.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm just watching the program happen. Why do we have to have same-sex couples? Well, we don't, but we are doing. We're having them. Why not?
Why are you offended? Yeah.
But the question is not why do we have to? The question is why not? What is upsetting you about it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why does it impact your life? So I just find it such a boring argument now. Like, we had some of these conversations last year and I just find it a bit old.
But to this guy, if you're listening to this, come on to the live Zoom and then we can actually have a full-on conversation about what you do.
I would love that, because it's not about like having a go at someone. It's like everyone is allowed to have their opinions. Like, because like I say, that seems to be the go-to thing when someone disagrees. It's like, well, I think freedom of speech is important and I should be allowed to say my opinion. And
that's a fallback, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like when Piers Morgan walked off of Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like he said an opinion and someone else said, I don't agree with that.
And
he walked off and said, freedom of speech is the hill that I'll die on. And it's like, no, but you didn't give yourself freedom of speech. You're both having a conversation and you walked away from it. You walked away. No one cancelled it. Do you know what I mean? It's that.
Yeah.
When,
yeah,
when, I get it. Well, I'm happy to talk about things. So if someone does want to come on to the show and talk about this or debate it, I'll happily have a grown-up conversation about it. Because that's what I'm after, grown-up conversations, not just Twitter slanging matches.
But it's actually really interesting. I like the fact that people have different opinions. Like, it's not just, everything's amazing. Yeah. Like, I like having the different opinions. And then I'm really interested to see the public's view on things.
But everyone should remember, just because someone doesn't agree with their opinions doesn't mean we're trying to cancel you.
Yeah.
I don't agree. Do you know what I mean?
And it's just a conversation.
Yeah. That like, I don't want to hear, well, I'm allowed an opinion, because that's not an argument. It's like we know that. But anyway, I'm sure those conversations will come up, because they always do. So this person, you know, thought it was woke or something, but I'm yet to hear from him why specifically it's woke and what he means by that.
He's waiting to come on the Zoom. He's waiting.
Yeah. Come on the Zoom.
Yeah.
But I imagine mostly we'll be talking about the couples and the dances and how they went.
Yes.
So that's the stuff that we
like. That's the main thing. Yeah.
But do we know when it starts? Has there been a start?
I don't actually know when it's going to start, because this is the thing. We'll need to announce probably next episode when we are actually starting our thing, where people can subscribe to it. Because it'll be the launch show. I mean, they've announced 11 celebs, so.
So I wonder how many announced.
Strictly start.
But Fee on Twitter has, I'm just looking at this comment, said, really like this year's lineup so far. They've got a great mix of celebs to appeal to a wide range of demographics. Looking forward to seeing them dance. Have missed your podcasts. Will be great to have them and Strictly to enjoy this autumn. But where do you find time?
Yeah.
Thanks, Fee. And I think that sort of encapsulates everything they've been saying, isn't it? Now we are finding the time and we're going to talk about all that good stuff.
By the way, it says here on Google that it's September 25th it starts. Now, I don't know whether that's the launch show, because that seems late. I feel like that would be the first where they all dance at their individual numbers.
I don't know. Yeah, it depends how many.
It might be before that. I don't know. Because normally the launch show is about 3 weeks before the first live, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. But anyway, stay tuned, because we'll be announcing stuff.
Yes. All right. Well, Jo, where can people find you on social media?
I'm at Real Joanne Clifton on Instagram, and I think just Joanne K. Clifton or Joanne Clifton on Twitter. I don't use Twitter as much, but I'm on Facebook as well as just Joanne Clifton.
Are you on TikTok?
No, yes. I tried to do it, and then I just couldn't do it. I got really confused. I was trying to do a video, and then this voiceover came over the top saying something about how to make sausage rolls. So I didn't. I wasn't sure what I was doing, so I gave up.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an age thing, but I feel like TikTok. I'm finally becoming one of those people where I go, no, I don't understand all this.
Yeah, same. I'm like, no, I don't get it.
If someone wants to help us do TikTok stuff with all of our Strictly content to do with the podcast and whatever, if someone knows what they're doing, then feel free to.
But isn't it dances though?
Well, that's what would we be doing? I see a lot of people doing little dances on TikTok.
It's something like something like that. I don't know.
Well, that was thrilling audio, Jo. But yeah, apparently TikTok is good. Yeah, if anyone wants to suggest anything for TikTok, but not dances, because I don't really want to do little dances on TikTok. Anyway.
Especially for me.
All of my my social media stuff is at Kevi Clifton, so without the N on Kevin, Kevi Clifton. Write to us. Tell us what you're excited about, Strictly, or what episodes you're listening to of the podcast, and we will let you know very soon how to sign up for the phone-ins and the Champions Leagues and all of the Strictly content that we're going to be doing, as well as the weekly roundup shows. All right. See you, Joseph.
All right. See ya.